book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And we'd like to read verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received I have passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of all the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. What do you do when you feel unworthy, guilty, useless, weak, and far short of what you want to be? It seems to be what Paul is speaking of when he, in the midst of this amazing chapter, turns the attention to himself. I think I know why he does that. But it's interesting that he does. The whole passage is wonderfully confident of the truth and challenging and asserting the authority that he knows he has before God. And then when it comes down to verse 12, the time after what we've read, he's strong again, dealing with the message of God and correcting and helping. But at this point, he speaks of himself. And he seems to reflect feelings of unworthiness, guilt, uselessness, weak, far short of what he ought to be. It seems to be what he's talking about in verse 9. Look at those verses again. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. What we'd like to look at tonight is, first of all, that there was no problem in Paul's mind with the gospel. There's no problem with the Scriptures. This is Paul's problem and Paul's solution. And it's especially focusing upon those two verses, 9 through 11, three verses that we just read. No problem with the gospel, no problem with the Scriptures, Paul's problem, and Paul's solution. Let's ask God to help us with this passage. Dear God, we thank you for your word, and we know that every word of God is powerful. We know that all the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us. And so we look to you today to help us in this passage as we look at it. Teach us and instruct us according to your word. Make us to appreciate what Paul opens his heart to show at this point, and grant us grace to receive to ourselves the message that you have for us. Thank you for your wonderful love to us. Thank you that you have revealed to us Christ, that he has declared to us through the Scriptures, and believing on him we have life. Thank you for the life-transforming power of the gospel. We pray you'll be with us now as we look at this passage. Consider the Apostle Paul for a moment. Help us, Lord, that we might benefit from this as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, it's obviously clear from the passage that he has no problem with the gospel. He speaks with real authority and confidence. We look at verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you will have believed in vain. Very clear. The gospel is no problem. He is not uncertain about the gospel. And he has no problem with the scriptures, because all the way he is declaring what happened, always in accordance with the scriptures. He says he did this according to the scriptures. He did this in accordance with the scriptures. And it's not like according to the scriptures he did this, but it's rather in accordance with the scriptures. These are the things that Jesus did. There's a tremendous confidence in the word of God, confidence in the power of the gospel, confidence in the testimony of scripture. There's no shaking at all with regard to that, but he speaks very personally in verses 9 through 11, and it's as if when he comes into the picture, he's struck with certain feelings, and they seem to be feelings of inferiority. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles. Do not even deserve to be called an apostle." That's the expression of his heart that he says. It's a little strange to see it jump into the middle of this passage, but it's what he says. I'm the least of the apostles. Do not even deserve to be called an apostle. That's a very low view of himself at the time. And he speaks about the fact that he does not deserve to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. And he's conscious of that. And even though in ministry for many years, and even though confident of the power of the gospel and bold in proclaiming the gospel, there is within himself a deep sense of unworthiness, a deep sense of inferiority, and a sense of being guilty of having persecuted the church of God. That seems to be what he's feeling at the time. He declares his sense of inferiority and his guilt. Now, of course, you and I know how to help him with that. Why, you cheer him up. Say, "Paul, that's crazy. Hey, Paul, those things that you did, that was before you were saved. That's no big deal. I mean, it's a big deal. It was terrible when it happened, but you've been saved. God has delivered you from that. You're free from that." And you'd say, "And Paul, it's crazy. You're wonderfully used of God. Well, what do you mean, the least of the apostles? We'd say you're the best. Hey, Paul, come on, shake up. Get out of this. You're doing fine. Come on, be confident." That's how we deal with it. Isn't that how, when a kid isn't feeling good about himself, or he feels he's worthless, or he feels he's of no value, what do? You cheer him up with cheerful words. Well, Paul doesn't talk to us. Well, he's talking, expressing his heart to us, but he's not listening to us at this point. And he doesn't work that way. That isn't the way he gets out of that feeling. Have you ever had any feelings like that? Feeling of inferiority. That most Christians are better Christians than you are. Now, many people would tell you, "Well, that's not the case," and you could reason with yourself with regard to it, but have you had the feeling that when he says he's the least of the worst of sinners, you almost feel sometimes, "Well, Paul, you hadn't met me." Sometimes we feel that we're inferior to everybody. We're not anywhere near where we should be. We're far below what we ought to be. And if people only knew the struggles that we have, they would not esteem us so highly as they do. Have you ever had that feeling that comes upon you? It seems to be in this unusual way coming upon Paul. "For I am the least of the apostles. Do not even deserve to be called an apostle." He feels unworthy, inferior, unworthy, and guilty. Maybe you have a battle with guilt now and again. Now, you know that Jesus died for your sins. Jesus bore your sins upon the cross. You rejoiced in the things that were preached this morning and the hymns that we've just sung about the fact that his death was for me upon the cross. He took away my sin. I am cleansed from it. But do you ever battle with a sense of guilt that you're bad and you are guilty for the choices you made, and you still carry something of a heaviness of what you were? And haven't you told yourself, "Now you're a Christian, now you believe, now you've been born again, and that's all behind you," and you talk yourself into it, but there's that sense of your own unworthiness, the sense of your own guilt. Does it ever sort of crowd in on you and you have to talk yourself out of it and get free from it? Maybe people can help you at times when you express and open your heart to what you're feeling. But somehow even their words to chuck you under the chin and assure you that you're fine and that Jesus forgives, sometimes those words come as a kind of a superficial. They don't really touch what you're feeling, which you're aware of in your own spirit. Now, you know they're true, and you're glad to hear them. And the people that are being very cheerful about it, in order to lift your spirits, they don't necessarily lift your spirits. You can't go from where you are to bubbly. You can't get there. And it's not enough to just say all the cliches that we all have learned about how you, this isn't true, and Jesus has died for you, and he's washed away your sins. There's something that you still sometimes have the feelings of that's what I am. I am a sinner. And I am guilty. And I am ashamed of what I've done. And I know Jesus has forgiven me. And I give him the glory and praise. I know he has a place for me in heaven. But I feel bad about what I've done. And I feel bad about, I don't feel worthy. That seems to be what pops into this scene. And it seems to me almost strange that it appears, because he's so confident in what he's preaching and so reassured. And somehow it's their mention of the Gospels and the way the Lord Jesus appeared to them all, and lastly, to me, as abnormally born, and that brings him back to this is what he is. And he seems to feel, well, he says that he feels, I am the least of the apostles. Do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Those things seem to be close enough that they can bring him down, personally, bring him down. What he carries with him. Maybe other people don't all at all suffer with that. They don't have that sense of the heaviness of what it is to be a sinner. And the fact of the sadness of this being a broken world and the unworthiness that you really have. Maybe you can chuck yourself under the chin, or people can lift you up with words, but it may be that they still seem, well, they're true, and you won't deny they're true, but it doesn't just catapult you back into a bouncy, happy atmosphere. You're still heavy by your sin. You're heavy about what you've done. You're heavy about even the things Jesus forgave you for. There still is something that would identify with Paul's feeling. It's Paul feeling this. Paul, who's such a champion of the faith and the one who taught us to trust in Jesus. But he says with regard to this, when he's thinking through and recounting the way the Lord worked, then he appeared to James, all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles. I am the least of the apostles, do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now that seems to be what's struck him. I think at an unusual point, not where I'd expect that to be. I so appreciate that Paul is not writing to fill to follow a pattern of this is the way you're supposed to write such letters. But he's got a wonderful freedom to break into his own letter and express his own heart. This happens the most obviously and completely in the book of 2 Corinthians, where Paul just breaks into the letter. Just says, I don't know what to say to you. And there's Paul just reaching out from the page. It's wonderful to see, and I think this is a case where Paul could have said, well, now this isn't appropriate to say this at this point in this letter, so we will go on to other things. These things are necessary. He doesn't do that. He breaks out into the letter, and he says this is what he's feeling. And the wonderful thing, one of the things, reason I think that he did that is because that's the kind of thing that sometimes happens in our lives. What we are, what we've been, our lack of deserving, our failure, our not measuring up, our inferiority, sometimes just jumps in. Boom. Hits you. Part of the way it is to be human. Humans are amazing creatures. And the way we work on the inside is quite remarkable. Many studies, but nobody understands. Don't understand ourselves. In the midst of all the other things, hit by things. And it seems that he's hit by these feelings. I am the least of the apostles. Do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Is he not the same man that will, when necessary, defend his place as a believer? Will, when necessary, make it clear that he is an apostle and that God called him to that? Very clear that he'll make it very clear and stand upon the reality of it. But what's about the emotional way it hits him from time to time? Well, this seems to be a little picture of Paul's heart as he's writing this letter, throwing in something that hardly seems to fit. But that's where those feelings are in your life. They hardly seem to fit. There they are. Well, I think he also did that not to ask people to cheer him up or to get somebody to chuck him under the chin, but to let us know how he gets out of it. How does he deal with that? We got something of his problem, feelings of inferiority, unworthiness, guilt. But how does he get out of that? And in these verses, just this short place, he also gets out of it, which is wonderful too. And not in some superficial way, but in a very basic and fundamental way, in a way that is very practical. It doesn't take a lot of running about the scriptures and trying to lay hold of happy verses. He goes on from his sense of solemnity over these things. For I am the least of the apostles, do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He goes to verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. First of all, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Notwithstanding my guilt, notwithstanding my unworthiness, notwithstanding my inferiority, I am what I am, a Christian, born again by the Spirit of God, desiring to please God and to serve Him. And that's what I am. If I don't look like that to other people, and if other people don't appreciate that in me, and if they see the worst in me at any time, I am what I am. I am a Christian. I'm one who has beheld the Lord Jesus Christ, who believes in Him, and who trusts in Him for forgiveness and for salvation. I am what I am. He's not saying he's more than least thing that I am. Is that I'm a Christian who loves Jesus Christ. That's what I am. And he can at least hold on to that as a start. Nevertheless, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he also has to see, and what I am and what I've ministered is not without effect. Now, it's true, I said I'm the least of the apostles and that I'm not worthy to be called an apostle and all of those things, that I feel that. But to say that the grace of God has had no effect, it has had an effect. I have ministered. It may not be the effect that I'd like it to be. I may sometimes feel other people's effect is much more than mine. I may be feeling sorry for myself, but I can't say it hasn't had an effect. I am what I am, and it has had an effect. So he starts there. Well, you can do that. Are you everything you ought to be? Are there times that you're far from it? Do you feel yourself unworthy? Yes, but you're a Christian, and it has had an effect. Maybe not the glorious effect you'd like it to have, and everybody around you coming to Jesus, and people all flocking to understand the reason for the hope that's within you. It hasn't had that effect, but it has had an effect. My life has been changed. The life of other people who had to deal with me has been changed. I'm not as hard on them hard for them to deal with as I was. I still am hard in some ways, but I'm not as bad as I was. I am different. It has had an effect. And so he can say that. Even when he's feeling down, when he's feeling unworthy, could he really honestly say his life has had no effect? Well, he can't say that. And neither can you say that. When you're feeling your worst, when you feel unworthy and all of that, you are what you are. And that's a Christian. And it has had an effect. And you can be encouraged by that fact. Well, he encourages himself that it has an effect. I am what I am by the grace of God. It is not without effect. He remembers that he's worked hard. Well, you can probably say that. Even you who feel totally unworthy and unsuccessful and like you haven't accomplished anything. You did work hard at it. Well, now that's at least can be said. Maybe there wasn't much of a result, and maybe that's the thing that bothers you. But hey, you did work hard at it. And Paul can say that. Paul can be honest. Now, if Paul said, I didn't even work, I did nothing, that simply would not be true. You deal with 2 Corinthians when he shows a little more of his heart, and you see the incredible labors that he put in. And he can tell about those labors. And when other people want to boast about what a wonderful spiritual life they've got, he can say, yes, I have a spiritual life too, and this is what it is. And he talks about the labors and the difficulties and the struggles. He's honest. He's worked hard. There's no question about that. So at least be honest. Paul is honest. Now, he's not making it something wonderful. He's just saying, I've worked at this. There have been many labors. I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Even realizing that he's put in a lot of labors, he realizes, but that was by the grace of God. I did that, but it was by the grace of God. It was the grace of God working in me. He's getting away from, he's shaking all of this that he's feeling. See, he's realizing that he is what he is, and it's not without effect. And he labored hard, and it wasn't just his labor, it was God working in him. And that's true as well. He labored hard, worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me, taking no credit for himself. He worked hard, but it was the grace of God enabling him to work hard. He doesn't give himself credit, but he says, the grace of God that was with me. And then look what he says in verse 11. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. Basically, he's just coming to the point, it's God's work. It's God's work. And whether I'm working or whether somebody else is, it's God working. The focus is what God is doing. And those little that little moment where he slips into feeling bad to himself and putting himself down in ways, and he does that, he pulls himself out of it, not by saying all these wonderful things about quoting verses that bring him back up to the top. What they do simply is say, now wait, Paul. I am what I am. That's bottom line. I am what I am. And the grace was not without effect. There was an effect in my life. And I did work hard, and it's God's work anyway. It's not my work, it's his work. And whether it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. So he doesn't get back to a point of feeling he's one of the most important apostles, and he's one of those most effective, and he's one most free and delivered. He doesn't get really very high, but where he gets is back to work. And that's the neat thing with, it starts in verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection? Look how he's back to challenging. He got out of Slough of Despond, and he got into back to work again. Did he get to high raptures of praise and delight and glory and the wonder of God? Did he get to a magical and happy buoyancy? No, he got back to work. And that's what I think makes this so useful. Because we don't have to go from our being depressed to all being happy, happy, happy. But we do need to get back to work. And when it hits us, our unworthiness, we don't have to wallow in our unworthiness, but we don't deny it's true. He's not saying, well, I wasn't really unworthy. He didn't say that. I am unworthy. He'll say, that's what I am. I see that. And I am the least of the apostles. When he feels inferior, he doesn't go back and have to say, no, no, Paul, you're even better than some. You're not the worst. Maybe you're not the best, but you're... He doesn't have to tell that to himself. He just has to get back to work. And how do you get back to work? And that's where Paul gets... That's how it seems that Paul gets back to work. He doesn't have to get from the Slough of Despond to the heights of Beulah land, he's able to get back to work. And it's just interesting the way he throws that in. The feelings, the inferiority, the guilt, failure can be seen, and he can, by little steps, get back, not to the heights of glory, back to work, which is exactly where he wants to be. And he does start again in verse 12, and he deals again with authority and with confidence. He deals with problems that are there. But in that little moment, he showed something about himself and how he got out of it. And I think I know why he did that. He did that for me. Help me. Really, to help me right now. This is a small enough group, and you know me well enough, and we're not broadcasting this to anyone, and nobody listens to the discs anyway. I feel a little bit of these things. People have asked me how I dealt with the... you know that I went down to my sister's memorial service. Didn't do very well there. It was very busy, and I got many things done, and we managed to get the things that needed doing, not without a few difficulties, finding places and getting them. A lot of activity, getting everything done, and things were in good order, and everything was fine, and I was thankful to be there, and the ministers that led the service were dressed in the robes that they wear, and it was in the very sanctuary of the church, and so it really looked nice. It was wonderful. It was so many ways it was good. And I've been so busy in these last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long it's been, that I haven't had time to mourn my sister. We had to go to New York. We had to arrange this and that and the other thing. We had to do that. We had to even get down to Florida. We had to do all these things. I haven't had time to mourn my sister's loss. I haven't had the quiet to feel that. And so what I did in the service, I look back now and see that, I slipped right into the professional mode that the pastors had and fit in nicely with the service and would have offered words that, had there been a powerful preaching of the gospel, it may have been a better package altogether, but it wasn't that powerful. And it was an opportunity that I missed. I didn't do what I could have with those that were there. I could have, in the midst of my testimony, using Kate's life, I could have preached the gospel. And it would be in the category of a eulogy, according to the rules. I could have been much more powerful than I should have been, than I was. And I feel a sadness because I didn't. I didn't serve the Lord as I ought to in that place. I feel terrible about that. I really feel bad. I thank you for your prayers. We're a family, and I'm able to talk to you as a family. I thank you for your prayers because God did help us, and it was wonderful in lots of ways, but one of the ways it wasn't as wonderful is in me and my own failure to be what I should have been and take the occasion as I should have taken it and make use of it. I think I should have, and I didn't, and I do feel a heaviness about that, and it weighs upon me, and I feel guilty in some ways and useless with regard to that, and having performed weakly in that situation and very far short of what I ought to have been. And this has helped me to deal with that, to realize I am what I am. And the grace of God has not been entirely ineffective in me. And it's God's work anyway. And I can trust Him to handle it and deal with it. But I don't have to chuck myself under the chin and tell myself that I'm wonderful and I was great and I was... Now, some of the people came up afterwards and said how wonderful it was. It wasn't. They were nice. It's kind for them to do that. I didn't really need that. That didn't lift my spirits. What lifted my spirits has lifted them enough to say, can't I? I'm back to work. And that's really where I want to be anyway. And I thank you. I mentioned it, and it's very personal. Well, Paul was personal. Look, he came in like that, so it's very personal. But I really thank you for your prayers for the trip. There were so many ways in which God clearly undertook for us. There was ways in which we didn't respond to changes in quite the way we ought to have, and we weren't perfect in our relationship as we dealt with things. But there's so many ways in which it was wonderfully blessed by God, and I'm really thankful for it, and we're thankful for the chance to go, and thankful for the help God gave and the safety and the blessing in so many ways. But how I really feel about it has to do with a sense of failure on my own part, and I'm not going to need you to, I mean, I'm wonderful, I'll take all the encouragement I can get, but I don't need that so much as I need the reminder that, wait a minute, all that may be true. Worst of it is true. Get down to the not being worthy. That doesn't just that. It's an unworthiness that's a lot deeper than that. And having sinned in ways so I don't even have a right to be called a pastor. That's true, not because of that, but because of the other things that are always there. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Remember that way that John Newton uses that, where he talks about, I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another time. I'm not what I should be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be one day. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's the wonderful encouragement it seems that I can get from that. And I think there might be a way that's helpful to you. We do not have to be lifted to the heights. We just need to get back to work. There's a place for feeling what we feel, recognizing it, acknowledging it, but not having to deny it. Being able to go beyond it by getting back to work. Whoops, sorry. Being able to get back to work. And I kind of feel that. So in that, this is all kind of a long way of saying thank you for your prayers as we were in Florida. There were many good things. One thing some of you prayed about was the relationship with my sister who's not saved. She didn't come to the service, but she's the sort to not plan and not be very thoughtful about other people's plans, so that when we thought we wouldn't see her at all and we're going to leave the next day, the night before she called us and said she was at Kate's house and we could come over if we wanted to, which we did. And she had dinner prepared for us. And we had a wonderful time. And I've mentioned to some, a fly on the wall looking at that time would have thought, what a wonderful family this is. But a fly on the wall doesn't see everything. They see something in a circumstance, but it doesn't see everything. And there still are things that we're concerned about with Marge. But it was wonderfully, you prayed for that too, and the Lord did answer with that. So we're very thankful for your prayers, and, excuse me, really believe that the Lord has answered those prayers. But what he's done in the situation with me has been to bring me to where this passage was tremendously valuable to me. And I think it may be that there are elements in that that are helpful to you because God put it in his word. And all the word of God is profitable, not just for me, but for all of us. So I commend to you that passage from God's word. And praise God for the fact that it is the way to get us back to work. And that's really where we need to be. Let's read that again. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. Now he goes on to challenge and exhort again. Wonderful little glimpse of the apostle, and we're thankful for it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for moving the apostle to reveal a little bit of his personality and his feelings and his struggle. And the wonderful way you gave him grace to deal with those things and to press on to the point that he kept working for you. And Lord, what wonderful things he accomplished. And how thankful we are for his life and for the testimony of God's grace in his life and his usefulness. Thank you for the things he suffered for Jesus' sake and the way he suffered for the glory of Christ, willingly to praise and magnify his name. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for the way in which Paul dealt with these feelings. And we pray you'll grant us grace that we will be, at those times of discouragement and despondency, help us to recognize your grace in us. Admit that that's had some effect. And then recognize that the work is your work anyway. And get back to work ourselves. Grant us grace to this end, we pray. And bless us and encourage our hearts. Lord, I thank you for these people who prayed for us as we were in Florida. And the way in which you did undertake. We know that you could take the things that were given and make them powerful even beyond what we could imagine. And so we leave them in your hands. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. And we worship you tonight. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.